Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast, and Happy New Year's Eve. And we will be back with live shows on January the 4th. We're still on vacation, but we put together our favorite moments of the past year for you to enjoy another podcast today. So enjoy the last day of 2020, and here is the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast.
We love hearing from you, and we asked on our Facebook page, what is your best one-line piece of advice for a kid starting their first ever semester of college? And our oldest, Taylor, is still set to move out in less than a month and live on campus. Okay, so we're going to get to some of your advice. 877-310-4MSJ.
How are you, Hope?
Good. I wanted to weigh in the topic y'all were talking about this morning on colleges.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My daughter is out of state. She's away for college, mm-hmm. and she is living on campus, and I've noticed such a difference with what she's experiencing and what I experienced in college. I stayed at home and went to school.
Yeah.
But I wanted to weigh in because I've learned that, you know, their grades are improving. Her grades are doing much better than mine were because she has the support of her friends and being able to study in campus. Mm-hmm. And she's not totally on her own because she lives on campus. She has an RA. If they need something like a bulb change, she doesn't have to figure out those adult things yet.
Right.
But it gives her the support that she needs, but also the friendships that you make when you live on campus are priceless. So I wanted to weigh in on that and let you know the thing that I missed out on was that, you know, I think the support you get and the homework help that you get and the things that you get when you live on campus far outweigh living independently or even living at home, in my opinion.
I like that too, because they're all in it together. They have their separate little journeys, but you're all in that together, and that you build another little community. You learn to live with new circumstances and people.
They support each other. You know, honestly, the relationship she builds there, even through the chaos of last year, it's way outweighs her being independent even at home with me, you know.
Yes, and lifelong friends. A few of them will remain lifelong friends. They'll visit each other in the future. I am for that as well. Thank you for this, for perspective.
I think it's worth it.
Thank you, Hope.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. And, you know, I mean, I'm excited that Taylor's actually still going to be able to do the dorm thing with the social distancing and everything.
COVID.
And some of her classes are still going to be virtual, even though she's on campus.
She'll be
doing
them there.
But the smaller ones, right, they'll be distanced and whatnot.
Yeah. We'll get to some of your Facebook comments and Instagram comments about that one piece of advice, because there's a ton of it, and it's all good stuff from our Facebook and Instagram pages.
Yeah, I guess I should say that if at any point this morning you've heard beeping in the background, that's my insulin pump. It's been going off all morning because I'm out of insulin.
I'm used to it. Now, you beep constantly.
Yeah.
Now, even in the middle of the night, babe.
Before anybody gets frightened and think that this is a medical
emergency.
That's
what I'm thinking. You probably got a bunch of folks right now going, oh, my God!
It's not. It's okay. Because as luck would have it, there's another type 1 diabetic that works with us in the building.
Yeah. And you're hoping to borrow something from him when he arrives?
Well, I know that he has. So the backup
needle
for my insulin pump is an insulin pen, is what they call it. Yeah, I mean, pens.
It's like a big fat pen.
It's convenient. It's easy. It sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? And the needles
are made by Sharpie.
Right. The needles are so small you don't feel it. And so there are a lot of things that are now given this way.
Mm-hmm.
But so the needles are separate. So it's not like I'm going to borrow a used needle. But I'm also out of needles for my pen. So I'm going to go down the hall. I'm going to ask for a needle, and we're going to be in good shape. But I'm going to continue to beep just so that everybody knows if you hear that.
It's nice that you're calm about this, because it's like I'm out of insulin and I don't have a needle and for the other device that can help me.
No, he's been managing this for many years. And if Jeremy was not here, and we hope he has enough. Like, you can't take his last needle.
Well,
that's a big ask.
I'm going to go home.
You're going to run home. And
the two of you can do the rest of the show.
Yeah, but it's just so funny to me how rare it is. Type 1 diabetes is the most rare, okay? And so for there to be two type 1 diabetics in this building and for you to be sharing stuff is practically a miracle.
Yeah.
I hope that he's like, oh, sure. He's a really chill guy. He's liable to say, oh, sure, keep it. Well, you're going to have to keep it if you use it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, you are right. Look, and I don't take it for granted. I know.
Totally.
My grandmother used to tell me I was special. That was before onset of diabetes. Now I am a member of that 4% club, you know. So
you are special.
Yeah. Yeah, plus, you know, you got this.
Thanks,
Wilford Brimley.
Diabetes. Gotta look at the bright side.
I knew this would come in handy one day.
I love it.
Diabetes.
Yeah, so with vacation, making sure that your pets are taken care of is a big deal, whether you board them or whether you have a house sitter or, whatever, neighbor takes care of them. And what cracks me up about this always, and I know this is not a new thing, but it really cracks me up because I think about, for example, when Jody and I took the girls to the beach, and Jody was really missing Champ, you know, the one that she calls her boyfriend dog. He is a sweetheart of a dog. And
he should have been with us.
He's loving when he gets excited, man. That tail starts wagging. He like bends in half. He gets so excited. He's one of those. But the thing about that, you know, we were gone for 5 days. And what I noticed is when we got back, Champ was excited. Jody was excited. Jody took him for a walk. But the level of excitement and the length of time that the excitement lasted was the exact same as if we had left the house for 30 minutes to go to the store.
What is your point?
And then come back.
You didn't. If you walked out, if you left the house, got in the car and went, forgot my sunglasses and went back in, you're going to get the same level of excitement.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful
dogs
thing.
Dogs don't have watches.
That's how dogs teach us the way that we should be, living in the present, in the moment.
And I totally love that, but it's hysterical to me because, you know, when we do humanize, you know, when you've been gone for a week and a half, you kind of want the excitement to last a little bit longer, right? Like, I didn't just go get the package outside, you know, and walk right back in 30 seconds later.
Right.
I was gone for a week and a half. Show me a little more love. Yeah, it's just, but it's
blaming the dog.
But it's just funny to me. You're right, Jody. It is about living in the present.
In the moment. That's what dogs do.
But by the same token, they also know the patterns. When the sun comes up in the morning or at a certain point, they know it's time to go eat. So
they know everything.
They do have some sort of a time concept, except for when it comes to leaving and coming back, you know? Oh my God, I haven't seen you in forever.
Guys, I want to tell you about something.
Yeah.
You know how during lockdown, pandemic, COVID, all that, more people, more families have adopted dogs and cats. And that's been wonderful for animals, homeless animals that needed homes. And it's wonderful.
Actually, we have one of those.
We do. Her name is Edie.
Yeah.
Yes. We were going to have her for a few weeks and now seven months in.
She's part of the family. I know.
She is. Okay, so we're adopting dogs and cats like crazy, which is wonderful, but they're saying that parrots, rescue organizations that rescue parrots, saying they're seeing a 70% increase in people giving up their birds. And the reason, and
really?
This is so sad. And the reason is, you're going to love this, Sam. It's not funny. You're at home trying to do video conferencing.
Really?
Meanwhile, in the background,
yeah, you're home more, so the parrot's more engaged with you. You're trying to run a meeting, and your parrot's acting up.
Plus, if you've taught that parrot some questionable words.
Anyway.
Well, I hope you haven't, but yeah.
So there's a lot of parrots who need new owners now because they're being given up for adoption.
Well, you know, I mean, I can see how, because if you get on your meeting, the first thing everybody's saying is, hi, and then the parrot's going to go, hi.
Hello.
I think that would make you stand out on the call and people look forward to seeing you.
Well, I mean,
I like that.
Couldn't you just do the meeting in another room? I mean,
I would think. I never understood that. I will say something else I didn't know. Rescues say they're hard to rehome because guess
they
what?
They are. They love their home.
No. They're hard to rehome because the first people who are like, oh, I'll take it, is women. And women and parrots prefer men over women.
Why?
I've never heard that.
I don't know that. That's what they say in the bird world.
Because men teach them the good words?
I don't know, but the parrots will bond with a man quicker than a woman. So women are like, take it. Poor baby. And the bird's like, nuh-uh.
I would just think that a parrot, like anything, becomes a creature of habit, which is why they can recite what they do, right? And so that would be difficult to rehome them because they love their home.
If you've ever wanted one, just know there are lots of it needing a new home. Today is special because it's our oldest daughter Taylor's 19th birthday.
I can't believe it.
You guys want to see if she's awake?
Let's try.
Hello?
Hey, baby.
Hey, babe.
Hey, how's it going?
Happy birthday, baby.
Thank you.
You love the happy birthday call.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you know the day that you were born, Dad and I were at the hospital, and Mr. Sam was here alone. Or did you have, was a producer hanging out with you that day? I don't think so.
That's a really good question.
19 years ago.
It was 19 years ago. And your dad played audio of you going, nah, nah, you know, like of you being a baby.
So that was your first time on the show. It actually freaked some people out, you know, for some reason that we were in the OR.
It was very personal.
Yeah.
that is a very personal.
Well, it was just audio. There was no description, you know.
Okay, baby, so how do you feel? Do you feel older?
I don't really feel very different.
Right.
It's not that big of a milestone.
Well, you say
it's
that.
Nice.
There's so much happening for you, though, in a few days.
Yeah, that's very true.
You're thinking next year is a milestone. Is that what you're thinking? 20? Mm-hmm. Is that like a, is that a bigger
21
number?
21 is going to be a milestone.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Party.
Suddenly everything that you've been doing is legal.
That's
I'm just
right.
kidding.
Make it a double.
Ha, ha, ha. Gosh.
Okay, well, so you know to keep your late afternoon open because we're doing a late afternoon surprise lunch place with you. For you.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not telling you where yet, obviously.
I'm glad you told me that, too. I'll be there.
I did tell you that already, Mark.
I'm just kidding.
What are you looking most forward to at college?
I like the idea of living on campus. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to meet my roommate and take some interesting classes that fit my personality better than what I could take in high school.
Yeah.
And I guess the parties.
Right.
That's good.
The truth comes out.
I was going to say that was the standard college answer. Now, are you looking forward to getting out of the house from the getting away from these two?
It's going to be hard.
Oh.
It's going to be very, very different.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think I do need that sense of independence, so I am excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you, too. I'm a little bit worried about Phoebes.
She'll be all right. I'll visit.
I know that. All right. Well, we can't believe you're 19, but we know you have stuff to do, and we'll see you later today.
All right. Love you guys.
Happy birthday. I love you, too.
All right.
Got an easy way for you to listen to the show on your terms.
How's that, Murphy?
Listen to the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.
And it doesn't matter what app you use to download your podcast, just subscribe there to Murphy, Sam & Jody.
Join the conversation anytime, 877-310-4MSJ.
How are you, Becky?
I'm good. So I was just listening to you guys on my way to work.
Thank you.
And I'm back to work last week after a Rona vacay. And was listening to you all talk about Federal Express, now FedEx, because of people, you know, was what people started calling them.
Yeah.
And I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or other listeners can, but I think it was like the general population that changed Google into a verb.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Started out as just a search engine.
Right.
Now it's like, well, hey, Google that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And
I don't think that's
verb.
Really original.
Yeah.
It is. It is. It's used more as a verb than as an actual look it up on Google.
Yeah,
so.
You're right.
Nobody goes to that length to say that. And it's funny because that's the example of you putting your product or service out there and then the public doing with it what it will.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it catching on like wildfire.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, it's fun, though,
yep.
Becky.
They adopt it, and they love it, and they morph it,
yeah.
You know?
What's fun is, you know, when you're around the kids, I always like to say the Google.
Don't
you. You do stuff like that, and it, Dad, it's not the Google. And
the
like,
Google?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Like the Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, don't even.
It's on the Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you all in the morning again. So.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate you, Becky. Yeah. Call us anytime.
Yeah, we're glad you're back and back in action at work. It's funny how some words become the verbs and others don't. And I don't know that anybody says, it's weird to me how we've gone away from Xeroxing things back to copying. Make a copy. Isn't that
You're
weird?
You're right. I didn't think about that.
And I don't know if it's just because there are a lot of different types of copy machines, but it used to be that Xerox was used that way.
Maybe the other copy machines made sure that happened.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
That's another good one. And Murphy, you're the one that kind of brought the FedEx thing in. I never thought about it. It was the public that said FedEx it, and the company went, oh, wait, let's just call ourselves FedEx.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
I never knew that one.
And I'm guessing that that's whenever, you know, the UPS abbreviated themselves, because it used to be only United Parcel Service. I'm
so
going to send
long.
This through the United Parcel
Service. So long.
Okay. That's how you keep up with the times. Thank you, Becky.
877-310-4MSJ. As we get going this morning, guys, I want you to know one of our friends, a dear friend of ours, her name is Jenny. You know her. She recently...
Jenny.
My Jenny. She recently had foot surgery. She's a dear friend of ours.
Did you see the bandage on her leg?
Yeah. Shy. I know it's not a word, sorry, but
ginormous?
It was big. I'm trying not to say ginormous anymore because it's not a word. But I'm used to saying it. Anyway, our dear friend Jenny is at home recovering from a surgery that mm-hmm. she had on her foot. And she's a working mom. You know, she's busy. She's a motivated person. I love her. So I was emailing back and forth with her and checking on her. And she said, thankfully, my mom and stepdad are here to help my husband and take care of me. I'm waiting to hear from the health agency because they have to teach me to use the stairs without putting weight on my foot. I can crawl up on my knees. I don't know how to stand up yet when I get to the top. So she's struggling with this. She's struggling with the pain medicine, too, because it's strong. She needs it. Her pain block wore off late last week, and she didn't want to be on pain meds, but kind of has no choice because it's severe pain. Mm. And she said, I'm sleeping a lot, and here's the reason I bring it up. I'm sleeping a lot and feeling guilty that I'm not working. Typical.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Jenny, this is a working mother's plight in life. There's no part of it where you don't feel guilty, but especially when it's time to take care of you.
She's got twins, too.
I know. And I'm sending her a gift. Well, shouldn't say that.
Yeah. You didn't hear that, Jenny.
I'm sorry. Maybe she's sleeping.
Yeah. Jenny said she might be sending a gift.
I did send her a personal note. It's like, please, you're not going to be. Because you're so success-driven for your children and your home and work, you're feeling guilty now, but you make the process worse for you and everybody around you if you try to work while you're supposed to be recovering.
Yeah, it's
tough. So just sleep, recover, so that when you do come back, you're superwoman again.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that the hard way after maternity leaves that were too short for me both times. Sorry, Murph, I still feel that way. I shouldn't have come back as soon.
You shouldn't say sorry.
Well, you and I were going toe-to-toe about it. And then...
I don't remember that.
I do. But, and then after my foot surgery, I came back. I had it on a Friday, and I came back here on Monday.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, definitely. And you did that on your own, too.
I know, I did. That was my stubbornness. But, so, Jenny, take care of you. It's the best thing a mom can do.
Talking to my daughter Maddie on the phone, and I think I created a monster of sorts by posting that picture of her cheese tray on our Facebook page.
It was beautiful. Well done. Like, I aspire to it.
Well, we had a lot of people on Facebook saying, hey, where can I buy one? Can you ship? Can you do this? Can you do that? And that made her go, cha-ching.
Oh, well,
so she wants
really?
And so she's like, when I come up to your house, I'm wondering if there's a way I can sell a cheese board.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, I guess we have to drum up business. I mean,
yeah, okay,
well, really, if
can
she shows
I help
up
you
and we
this?
Make a cheese board, it's like...
No, you need to post it again, okay? And you need to say, my daughter's going to be here, blank, blank, these dates.
Who needs cheese boards?
Right. And then you can start help. She can take orders.
Yeah, well, see, she didn't like my suggestion, which was, hey, Sammy and Will and everybody's going to be here. We're going to have dinner together. You can make one for us.
Oh, yeah, no. She wants Monday.
And it was just like dead quiet. It's like
she's already done that at her own house a lot. That's what where she started making them, right? Her mom's?
Right.
Yeah, she's really good. Maddie, if you're listening, it's a talent that you have. Not everyone can do it. So I think you should.
Mm-hmm.
But you may have to choose some place other than your house to sell them because you've got that no solicitation sign up front.
Oh, no. That's just coming in. I can sell whatever I want going out.
How about this? As much as I want to, I saved that picture of the cheese board she did because I was going to look at it and for the holidays, copy it. However, if she comes to your house coming up for the holidays on the same weekend where I have my company coming in, our family that comes in and stays with us.
Yeah.
I'll buy
Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah. No. After that. I will buy a cheese board from Maddie.
Okay.
You will have to drive to my house and deliver it with Maddie.
Here's the other
twist. And I'll pay her.
Here's the other twist. Maddie wants this to make money, but who's buying the cheese?
Oh, you are.
Well, you got to make cheese to buy the cheese,
right? Once she starts making money, then she'll buy her own cheese.
Buy her own cheese.
The other day when we had asked on our Facebook page what everybody saw in that canvas that's hanging above our fireplace, Murphy, the one that I bought from a friend of mine It looks like flowers to me in a vase, and Bailey found out that that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and it took me a minute to figure it out. And
it's whimsical.
Yeah, and we found out it's a Kirkland's original.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying.
Is there such a thing as a Kirkland's original?
Yeah. There's an original somewhere.
Yeah. You know,
doesn't reside in Kirkland's.
When I was a kid on two different TV shows in the 80s, a picture was in the background that was hanging in our living room.
That's called home interior.
Yeah, is it?
I think.
Yeah. Yes. So it was a famous picture of a famous baby. That's Friends. Never mind. No, it was horses gathering during a storm.
That's lovely.
Yeah,
I used to have that situation where I had this picture of this little girl standing in a field of flowers that was in my bathroom when I was a girl growing up, and then I went to spend the night and sleep over at a friend's house, and she had the same picture, and I was like, "What's going on here?" Yeah. And then I learned about home interiors.
Yeah. I thought I had the only one.
No, I didn't care that I didn't have it, but it was just weird. It's like, oh yeah, my mom would get together with ladies and have a party and you could buy the stuff, and it was...
Wait, there was a thing called home interiors?
Yeah, I think that's what it was called.
So it was like an art party.
Yeah, or they would sell accessories to a catalog. Somebody would come and she'd say, everybody hand out a catalog. You know what that's like. They still do those today with different things.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I wonder if that's where my grandmother got her metal peacocks that used to hang on the wall. And I wonder what happened to those.
Actually, yes, stuff like that. In fact, if you go to if you go antiquing, you're going to see old stuff that's like, oh my gosh. And you think that reminds you of your childhood or your grandmother had those. But everybody had those. It's true. I had little butterflies in my room.
Welcome to the world of mass production.
Yeah. I was like, so much for going to antique stores.
You know my butterflies that I still have to this day. They're in a closet now. I don't have them hanging. They were hanging in my room for decades when I was a little girl. And I thought, same deal. I thought they were just so special.
Right.
Home interiors.
Hmm. You know, it's that's the weirdest thing to me, too, because I actually saw a post on eBay the other day that said Rubik's Cube. And next to it said rare. I'm like, that's not rare.
No. Welcome to mass production.
They made millions of these.
Okay. Anyway, look, coming up next, I do want to, the reason I brought up the mass-produced painting, and it's something you should know if your friends sell stuff. Like, if your friend has her own business, what you need to know at the holidays going forward. Okay, now that you guys understand what home interiors is.
Yes.
It was one of the first ever, what do you call it? What kind of marketing is that?
Pyramid
multi-level
schemes.
Marketing?
I think they call it multi-level marketing.
Whatever.
Okay, neighborhood, they called it a pyramid scheme.
They still really do exist today. You know this is true. The reason I brought it up in the first place is not to talk about the kind of art we were all exposed to when we were kids. But because that's the kind of art we had in our house. It certainly wasn't anything original much. We didn't have a lot of original.
No Picassos.
No,
nothing
we didn't.
Like
we,
that.
Neither us. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
So I brought up that picture that I bought from my friend who stages homes. Her name is Andy. And when she was taking the stuff out of the house that we sold, I was like, Andy, I love that picture. And she was like, would you like it? And I bought it from her.
Mm-hmm.
And you were surprised, Sam, that I bought it from her. You're like, she didn't give it to you?
I would assume she would have given it to you.
Well, it would have been lovely if she'd have offered that, but I didn't expect that because she's my friend and that's her inventory. You know what I mean? That's not sentimental to her. That's part of
business.
In fact, she packs that stuff up and puts it in a warehouse until she stages somebody else's house. It's a lot of work. So I saw that as inventory, and it made me think the way you reacted, like, she didn't give it to you.
Your friends give you everything for free.
Well, no, because see, I took it as, oh, well, you know, it's like a housewarming gift. Like,
I see.
We sold the house. I tell you what, here's this to.
And look, she is that kind of person, but she just chose at this moment to charge me for it because I don't know. It's her inventory.
Yeah. And our housewarming gift was her help selling the house.
Yeah, and she didn't have to give us a housewarming gift. Anyway, it made me realize and think of something that I want to share, especially this time of the year. There is that feeling that if your friend sells stuff, your friend has a business, that cut you a deal. But the truth of the matter is your friend does that because they depend on it for income. And to me, it's a lovely thing to do, especially at this time of the year. If you're going to be buying gifts anyway, start there. Like, start with your friends.
As long as they cut you a deal.
No, and buy from them. And no, I don't think so. I don't think you should assume or ask friends to do that.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
I think you devalue what they're doing if you assume or expect that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. You just hope they don't mark it up 1,000%.
Okay. Both of you. Yeah. I can't do anything with you.
I'm going to cut you a deal after I mark it up.
Got more Murphy, Sam, and Jody fun coming up, and you can reach us anytime, 877-310-4MSJ.
But what if we're not here?
You can leave us messages. In fact, we love to listen to those. 877-310-4MSJ. Sam, did you see the picture of my cockatoo from the weekend?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
By the way, he's not real, Sam.
I know that. I was about to tell the same thing to Jody. Because they're carrying on online. It's like, really? This is ceramic.
He looks real. Okay, so on Saturday morning, one of my besties called and said, there's a ginormous estate sale near my house.
Yeah.
It's at a mansion. Do you want to come? And so she picks me up. We go. We load the kids. The kids went too, most of them. And we were in there in that house. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't want to touch anything. There was real art in this house, guys. Real art,
and you wind up with a ceramic cockatoo.
I wasn't going to buy anything.
Jody kept sending me notes saying, Murphy, you need to come here. It's a real mansion. Never been inside of one of these.
It was just gorgeous. The furniture was incredible. The furniture looked like stuff that belonged in, you know, a bed and breakfast, like upscale. But I'm walking. We're about to. When we first walked in, on this table, my friend Jody is looking at real art.
Yeah.
That's why she's there.
And you're looking at the junk table.
And I'm looking down like, oh my God, look at this. It's a ceramic pinkish white cockatoo. And he's gorgeous. And I'm like, oh my God, I just wanted to pet him and touch him and hold him. So I just picked him up. I'm thinking, I'm going to pick him up. And if I decide not to buy him later, I'll just put him down later. Yeah. I couldn't put him down. So I did buy him. It was not expensive at all. Posted on the Facebook page, what should I name him? Do you want to hear some of
I saw Penelope on there.
Penelope, yeah. But I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. I don't know anything about this bird.
And because it's ceramic, there's no way to tell.
Sitting on a limb, no. Pookie came in.
Oh.
Governor. That's a good one. Mr. Pink. thank you for the recommendation, Prince. Somebody said Prince.
I love naming inanimate objects.
Me too.
I just do.
Did anybody send in waste of money?
No. Everybody sent in that Precious. Pinkatoo. But on the way home.
Oh, that one.
Pinkatoo, like cockatoo.
Yeah.
But on the way home, Jody and I came up with Rona. Because we were in masks doing it right.
Yeah.
Thank you for reaching out on Facebook and Instagram. Guys, you know about the new Bud Zero, right?
The new beer?
You're mentioning that.
The near beer?
My question is, it says that it's alcohol free.
But it's not.
Why does it say that then?
I don't know if it's an FDA thing or what, but they still have a minuscule amount. It's less than 0.5%.
I think it's kind of like something can be sugar-free but have a little bitty sugar.
Okay. On the can it says
the minimum threshold
0% alcohol, but if you look at the ingredients or whatever.
Okay.
So, I mean, to me, I guess the first O'Doul's was the first one that I had ever heard of that was they referred to it as a non-alcoholic beer. They didn't say alcohol-free.
Okay.
They said non-alcoholic beer.
Getting to the real question here. Neither one of you drink anymore.
No.
For good personal reasons that you both decided to stop, which is respectable and wonderful, and I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
However, would you drink this, and do you have any interest in drinking it? I'm curious. Sam, go.
I'd like to try one to see if it tastes like a beer.
Yeah. I'm sure it does.
Even when I was drinking, I never had an alcohol-free beer.
Right.
What was the point? But I've always wanted to try one of these to see, does it taste like a beer without the alcohol?
And does the minuscule amount scare you?
I would probably not. Probably not.
Good. Okay. Murphy,
I have no reason to do it. I mean, I don't even want to start doing anything
that
might feel that way.
Murphy?
This is going to be an unpopular answer. I could be completely wrong. I would think that these beverages are not designed for alcoholics. They're designed for people who don't want to drink alcohol but like the beer flavor.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I would say, and this is just me, I would not want to associate that flavor again. So it doesn't matter whether it has alcohol or not in it. If it was something that could have been an alcoholic beverage, I'm not putting it in my mouth. if it's got a trace of alcohol mm-hmm. in it, just because that's playing with fire.
It's wrapped up with too much personal stuff for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not going there. But that, I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not saying that there aren't people that can do it.
Yes.
And if you can, that's fantastic. But I don't think that's why the beer makers are making it. I don't think they're trying to entice alcoholics into drinking alcohol-free beer.
They're trying to get
it's that market to come back again.
What they're doing is they're creating a beverage that, you know, for beer lovers that doesn't have, you know, high alcohol content. Those are two totally...
And it's low calories. These beers usually have low calories, so it's, you know, if you're watching your waist.
Right.
I just think those are two totally different things.
Very good grown-up answers. My gosh.
Can't wait till we get to the end of the show today.
Why?
Well, because we'll have another episode of After the Show.
That's why I was bringing in food.
No. We have more fun later today on the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast after the show.
Okay, guys, you know about my Keep the Wow thing. It's kind of my motto.
Exactly. When something happens, it really sticks out in your mind as special. You want to kind of
keep it.
Save that moment. Savor it, right?
Biggest compliment you've ever gotten? Keep it with you. Pull it out of your pocket when you need it. And you can have those kind of moments, not just for yourself, but with people. And I had one just the other day. So I took Taylor, our oldest, to lunch, just the two of us. She requested it.
Yeah.
Mom, can we go to lunch, just you and me? Let's talk. Let's hang out. I'm like, yes. And so we went to lunch the other day, and she is 2 weeks away from moving out of the house into a dorm, starting her college life.
Yes.
And so I didn't make it about that, but we ended up talking about all of that. You know what I mean?
She nervous?
I mean? No, she's ready.
She is ready.
She's 110% ready.
She has dorm decorations ready to go.
All car's already loaded.
Linens. No. I mean, she's ready.
Yeah, she's ready. But we ended up talking about everything, you know, like self-reliance and doing this. And towards the end of the conversation, I talked to her about trusting herself, about people. You know, you don't have to be friends with everybody, but you do need to make connections and things like that. And come home, call us when you need us, all of that. And then we got to the studying thing. I'm like, look, I know that your MO in life is to have fun. I get that. But you're going to have to take this first semester seriously as far as, you know, your work, because it will determine the rest of your.
Well, it's a transition, and it's where a lot of freshmen trip up.
Right. So, and I said that, and she said, this is the moment that I'm keeping. You're going to love this, Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, you know, about studying and making sure you don't mess that part up. I want you to have a balance. I want you to have fun, but I want you to do what you're there to do. And she said, Mom, I know you're worried about that because I do like to have fun. She says, but I think I'm going to be fine. She says, because I'm really interested in my major. I'm interested in these classes and I think I'm going to rock it.
That's wonderful.
And I'm like, you know what? You're right. She knows herself. So keeping that one, keeping it.
And now we have a fighting chance at retirement at some point.
Some of my girlfriends, one of the funniest things they'll say to me, they've said to me over the years, is that they envy me working in radio here because you could just wear whatever you want. And I'm like, I guess you could. I guess I could, but I always have dressed up. Not up like I'm in a suit or something, but I've always dressed the way
you've always dressed professionally. And look, and that was before cameras were in the studio. I mean, now there are cameras in the studio. So
now,
we have to wear pants.
Yeah.
That's
but
right,
I always
Sam.
Have. I always have. I just.
You have always dressed nicely.
It's just me being myself, right? What's happening in America with everybody, first of all, this was already happening before everybody went home and started working from home because of COVID-19. In the industry of clothing and retail, it's called the casualization of America.
Mm.
More and more.
Isn't that a book Murphy has?
No. It's an article I found and I thought, oh my gosh, because like, is dressing up for work going away? And I'm like, oh, I hope not for me. And it won't for me if I don't want it to. Dress how I want. But
you can see the term business casual. You've seen, there's still people that wear, they'll wear sport coats, but without a tie.
Yeah.
Or you'll see no coat, but you know, dress shirt nicely pressed with jeans, for example.
And this,
it's changing.
Casual Friday.
This is changing every single industry. Men's Warehouse, Brooks Brothers, Lord & Taylor, Ann Taylor, Loft, and Neiman Marcus. All of those retailers.
Well, you're talking about super
the
fancy
parent,
here.
No. Don't let the word Neiman Marcus fool you and scare you, Sam. Go. Those companies have entered Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Mm.
One of the ones hurting the most, men's specialty shops.
Mm.
Suits, ties. Those are not being sold. Like
which is
they
a shame,
used to.
Man, because, you know, there's nothing like a good-looking suit.
No kid, man. A suit or
it's
a tux.
True.
When you put that on, man, it doesn't matter
It's how you feel.
Doesn't matter what your weight is or how your hair looks. You just feel good.
You just touched on something. That's why I dress the way I dress. Mm. For me, so that I can feel a certain way. Then everything else should hopefully fall into place.
And I do think it's important that, you know, we've talked about this before. Working from home, if that's sort of a permanent setup, you really should still dress like you're working, because it does kind of give you that little subconscious energy.
Yeah,
you
know? Right. I agree. Every little thing matters. Anyway, it's called the casualization of America. So if you're having one of those days, you have a meeting, dress like you're going somewhere, even if you're not.